Let's go to Psalm 27:4. I'm going to pick up where I was last week and then go further with it. But in Psalm 27:4, Psalm of David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You will always pursue your strongest desire, and you will desire the strongest, what you believe has the greatest value to you. So I made that point last week. I just want to start there again. Whatever has greatest value, you will desire the most, and you will always, in principle, pursue the strongest desire. So David becomes king, and the first thing he sets out to do is to move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem to reestablish the worship of God. He began to do that. We were looking in 1 Chronicles 13, but they didn't do it according to how God told them. They put the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart, and when it shook, a man named Uzzah put his hand to it to steady it, and he dropped dead. Kind of blew David's mind. He was afraid of the Lord, it says then. And they moved the Ark of the Covenant into a priest's house by the name of Obededom. And he was blessed because the Ark of the Covenant was there. The Ark of the Covenant's where God would manifest his presence and speak to his people. So David found out in a 3-month period of time, he found out that God told them to carry the Ark on the shoulders of the priest. They had gold rings put into the Ark or onto the sides of it, and they have these wooden gold-plated staves that they would slide through the ring and carry it on their shoulders. Now, the main point from that last week is that we are called priests in the kingdom of God, and it's our responsibility to carry the presence of God. We carry the presence of God when we gather. The Lord's here because you came in. If I was the first one here. So he was here when I came in. He doesn't live in buildings made with hands. He lives in his people. And for us, we are commissioned to carry the anointing, to carry the presence of God wherever we go. When we come gather, we can carry that presence, the presence of God, into the place that we're gathering to worship. When we go out into the world, we carry the anointing and his presence out. So that was the main thing from last week. I want to first go to 1 Chronicles 15, down at verse 28. So we look into this a little further about David and his heart with this whole matter. They begin to bring it up. They're now having it carried on the shoulders of the priest. And they are praising him. They are singing. They are blowing trumpets. They are shouting. They're playing their guitars, psalteries, and harps, their stringed instruments. So it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant came to the city of David, that Michal, however that's pronounced, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window. Now, this was the King Saul's daughter. He felt he could keep a thumb on David by having David marry one of his daughters. She's looking out the window and sees David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Now, to understand this, we want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, where it goes into more detail of the same account. Second Samuel 6. And at verse 16, the ark of the Lord was brought in. She looks out the window and sees David leaping and dancing before the Lord and despised him in her heart. Now, up at verse 14, it says he danced before the Lord with all of his might. With all of his might. And there's a lesson here. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Whatever you do as unto the Lord, do with all of your heart. God is not pleased with half-heartedness in anything we would do for him. He wants all of our heart, all that's within us. And if we have the highest value on him and pleasing him, the natural response to that would be to minister back to him or do what he commands you with all of your heart. David danced with all of his heart. Now, part of the thing going on here is that the Ark of the Covenant's being moved back to Jerusalem, where the worship of God can be reestablished. And his expectation was that they would be hearing the voice of God speaking to them as they were worshiping the Lord before the Ark of the Covenant. So one of the things we see is that David had a high value on hearing from God. Now, some people might have a little value on that, but really we should have a high value, because hearing from God, hearing his word, brings faith. It makes his will known. We see that which he would have us to do, that we can please him. Everything in the kingdom begins with the word of God. That's why Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable of the sower sowing the word, you're not going to understand anything. So David dances with all of his might. Now, he's not doing this for a show. He's not saying, look at me. But he's doing it for the Lord. I believe when he sang with all of his heart. I endeavor to do that when I come. Every now and then, Don will have to just sort of make me where, you know, you're singing a little so loud. And sometimes, you know, if I'm standing beside her in worship, I might have my eyes shut and I'm like this. And I open my eyes and I'm singing, pointing right into her ear. So it could be a little loud. But I'd rather be a little loud than be the mouse, okay, that you can hardly hear anything but a squeak come out of it. Now, that being said, wisdom, as you learn to flow with a group and fit in, you know, we learn to fit in, try to fit. However, corporately, we should be in an all of our heart mode. We don't come to worship the Lord to punch our time clock, to put our time in, to do our religious duty for God, but rather, he is my Savior. He's given me life. He's taken sin away. He's forgiven me. He's given me an inheritance in Christ. I have the life of God, peace, joy, love. I have all of that. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. And the glimpses we have into heaven in the book of Revelation, the angels, the saints, everyone there says he's worthy of it all. The Lamb whose blood was shed, he's worthy of it all. All of our praise we could give him. So that's David coming in, praising with all of his heart. And his wife is despising this because she grew up the daughter of a king. She was schooled in being dignified, in status, in creating an appearance before men. She would have been probably real worried about how she looked, too, to people. You know, rather than worry what people think of you, it's more important to be concerned what's God think of me. You know, if a man wants to laugh at me, fine. As long as my Heavenly Father's pleased, that's what I'm concerned about. So David, after the ark's moved and the praises go forth, he blesses the people. He comes back home, and in verse 20, he meets Michal, however that's pronounced. I'm not sure how that is in Hebrew. And she says, sort of mocking him, how glorious was the king of Israel today. You uncovered yourself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers him. Now that doesn't mean he's standing there in his underwear. That's not what that's saying. As a king, it said in the previous verses, he had a linen ephod, or he had a kingly garment or robe as a king. It's like the high priest would have a robe, priest would have a robe. As king, he had a robe. And in dancing with all of his might, that robe flew off of him, and he didn't really care. But as a king, before people, you wouldn't do something like that. You had your stature as a king before the people. So I just sort of picture this. He's dancing around like a wild man, and he somehow flies out of his robe. I remember once years ago, it was the time we had a healing line. I was praying for people coming up for healing. And there was a brother, you would remember this thought, he had a vest on. And the power of God hit him, and he flew out of his vest. I mean, he flew back on the floor. He flew out of his vest. His vest is laying on the floor. You remember that? Oh, I can still see that. And I'm thinking, how does someone fly out of their vest? Well, that's how it was for David. I mean, he's dancing so well, the robe flies off of him. You know, was it short sleeve or long sleeve? I don't know. I think it'd be even harder if it's a long sleeve robe. But nonetheless, I mean, the power of God's on this guy. He's dancing like a wild man, or in other words, with all of his heart. You know, in the eyes of man, he's a wild man. And his wife's embarrassed. David's making a scene. He's making a fool out of himself. And David said, it was before the Lord. I didn't do this for you or for anybody else. It was for the Lord. So he's telling his wife, it was before the Lord. Therefore, will I play before the Lord? Well, he says, God, the Lord who chose me before your father, before the house, to appoint me ruler, to be king over the people of the Lord. Therefore, I'll play before the Lord. The Lord called me. The Lord chose me. It was for him. When we come and worship, it's for him. It's not for other people. I remember hearing a nationally known person, and I could not believe this when I heard it. I couldn't believe it. How can someone who's nationally recognized be so stupid of the scripture, ignorant of the scripture? This person said, worship's not for the Lord, it's for you. This is the tone of voice and everything. Worship's for you. Boy, that made my skin crawl. It's for the Lord. It's not for you to get a feeling, to be entertained, or anything else. It's for him. He alone is worthy of all of our praise. For that person, it was nothing more than entertainment. And in the body of Christ, there's far too many that's all it is for them. Some entertainment. Oh, it's fun to sing. Well, people end up getting bored if they're doing that for themselves. But you never get tired of doing it for the Lord. When you maintain the revelation of his love for you and all that he did for you, we'll be praising him with all of our heart forever and ever in heaven. That's what the scriptures show us. If you don't like doing that here, you're not going to like heaven, but the alternative is not good. Sometimes we have to make some choices, and you say, I don't know about this, but this is pretty bad over here. I'll take this. It's far better for us to gain the revelation of our Heavenly Father's love and the love of Jesus and the redemptive work of Christ and really see it and love him because of what he's first done for us, and become that people he wants us to be with all of our heart, worshiping him. It was before the Lord, young lady. And I'll be even more vile than this and more base in my own sight. And the maidservants which you've spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. By mocking the man of God, she brought a curse on herself. Just a little side note there. Now, the thing we want to see from this is that in worship before the Lord, we're all the same. David, as king, he was king before man. But before the Lord, he was a believer. Before the Lord, he's the same. We're all the same. There's no one above anyone else when it comes to coming to the Lord in prayer, or when it comes to worshiping him, when it comes to being a witness. We are not above one another, but it's the same for us. There's a saying, the ground before the cross is level. I don't know where all they got that, because it's on a hill. But what they mean, there's an equality. You know, in the world, they're crying out, equality, equality. There's equality in Jesus. We all are saved the same by that same blood, by that same work of Jesus Christ. We're born of the same Father. We're born of the same blood, by the same Spirit. We have access to the same kingdom, to the same promises, and the same blessings. And we come before him as children, equal in the Father's sight. David did not praise the Lord as king. He praised him as a believer, as a son to the Father. So that was his perspective. He had a perspective on this. And the greatest thing in his mind, his greatest desires being fulfilled in that the ark's coming back and they can expect to hear from God and for the presence of God to be manifest. That's why he was so excited with all of his heart, not caring what anybody thought, because the greatest thing is about to be given to them. That was his perspective. Well, we go on down here to verse 7 now. Actually, let me go back to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7, as this account is going on. My iPad's resisting me. iPad, you submit in Jesus' name. Oh, my. You know, these things work like a heat-sensitive thing. Yeah, Brother Vitaly and, Alex and Elaine are here, but once when I was at Vitaly's church in Odessa, it was so cold out, and the building was cold. Everybody comes with these big coats on. And my iPad would not work in there. It was so cold. I'm like pounding on this thing because it wasn't feeling the heat of my finger. Anyway, it just came to my mind. Didn't have anything to do with anything. Did you find 1 Chronicles 16:7? It says, on that day, or the day the ark was brought, David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord. He put it into the hand of Asaph, who was one of the lead worshipers, and his brethren, and are putting it to music. Now, what we're going to be looking at here in the next few weeks, there were various psalms that David wrote by inspiration for this hour, for this event in this hour. And this is one of them. And as what's recorded in 1 Chronicles 16, it's taken from Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and Psalm, I forget which other one right now, but there's another one at the end of it. So it's actually parts of three psalms. Verse 8, it says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So he begins this psalm with an exhortation. Thank the Lord. Call upon him. Why? Because he said back in Exodus, he's going to speak to them at the Ark of the Covenant. He's going to speak to them as they bring their offerings to their Lord. They were to expect God to speak to them. His presence was there in the pillar of fire and the cloud by day, and the fire by night. Give thanks. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds to people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Now I'm going to come back to those verses. Verse 10, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Sometimes people will read the psalms like it's just melody, cliche, just flowery words. Like just, hey, how you doing? Oh, have a good day. No, these things are very deep with meaning. He says, let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. In other words, the Ark of the Covenant right now, that moment in time is being brought before them where God said, I'm going to speak to you. As you bring your offering before the Ark of the Covenant, I'm going to speak to you. You're going to hear my voice. So he's saying, those that seek the Lord should rejoice because with the Ark of the Covenant being brought back to Jerusalem, we now have expectation on hearing from God. So then he proceeds to say, seek the Lord and his strength. I've been sharing with you all year that one of the works of the Holy Spirit in 2020 is that of the impartation of strength in our spirit. Because we are under a great test and there's all kinds of fear and evil going on around us. You must take the responsibility to seek the Lord and draw on the strength of God. So a lot of the preaching of the word is to bring an impartation of strength. When you come here to worship him, to give thanks to him, also come with expectation, one, to hear from God, but two, also to receive a strength in your spirit. And when it comes to spiritual strength, it's not like physical where you feel, you know, like your muscles are pumped up or whatever. But inside, there's a strength in your spirit. It says of Jesus, he was strong in spirit. He was strong in the conviction power of God. So therefore, everything the enemy brought did not wear him down. We see that the Antichrist spirit, it's back in the book of Daniel, he wants to wear us down. Wear you down. Because when you're tired, when you're weak, when you're worn down, that's when you're more vulnerable to temptation or bad decisions or simply to be just crushed in your spirit. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Well, I'll pose to you, are you a seeker of the Lord? And that's for you to know for yourself, for you to be able to say for yourself. Well, for us today, presence of God is with us because the Holy Spirit's been sent. He abides in each one of us, but then we look for the amplification, the multiplication that as we gather in his name and worship the Lord and the presence of God being manifest, we should expect to hear from him.
Yes.
To hear from him. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. To come and worship the Lord with the people he's called me with and the place he's called me to, it's a highlight of my life. You might say, you have a boring life, Pastor Bill. No, it's exciting. It's full of joy. I wouldn't miss this for anything. If I don't show up here, you know something's wrong. That boy is too sick to get out of bed or something. The car broke down. He's walking 8 miles away. Now, praise God for cell phones. We can communicate. But when we have a value on the presence of God and the strength, deliverance, protection, healing, peace, joy, all that is within that, we rejoice. We can just partake of that. Now, you can do that by yourself at home, but it is all magnified all the more on the corporate level. And the thing I've been sharing with you, my expectation is for the manifestation of the Spirit of God in the presence of God in the corporate worship. And one of the great things with that is no man can take the glory. And in this last day and this hour before the coming of Christ, it is vitally important that all the glory is going to God. Because if a man begins to touch the glory and take the glory, the hand of God may well lift off. That's another message for another day. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Well, he's there for us. He's not lost. Oh, I found the Lord. No, he wants us to cry out to him, but we seek to abide in the presence of God. Now, we come back up here, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Now, that's given to us as an exhortation. But the principle that governs thankfulness is if you see value on something, you'll be thankful for it. If you don't have much value on something, you won't be thankful. If you have value on the Word of God, then you'll be thankful to be able to come and hear it. You'll be thankful to have a Bible to read or to tapes to listen to. Downloads. I mean, tapes, that's old school. Nobody has tapes anymore. But you would, if you have value on it, you'll be thankful for it. It's not that we need a cheerleader to get us all hyped up to praise the Lord or thank him. It's merely, do I have a value on the Lord himself? If I do, I'll be thankful to him. If I have a value on the things I have, I'll be thankful for it. Now, this is a matter of perspective. If I'm looking at life for what I don't have, I will not be thankful. I will envy other people. I will walk in the sin of lust and envy. And I'll be a complainer. But if I look at what God has given me and see the value of it, I will be thankful for that continually until I stop seeing the value of it. This is a simple secret to having a healthier marriage. If I can see the value of my wife and remember that, then I'll be thankful to her. If I'm thankful, I'm going to express that appreciation. If I stop seeing her as the value she is to me, as a gift from the Lord, then I'm not going to be real thankful. Then I'll be complaining. Oh my, praise the Lord. Where are you? You see, it's a matter of perspective. It's not a matter of some entertaining thing luring you in. It's not a matter of a great cheerleader leading us in cheers for Jesus. If I consider what he's given me, I should be moved to give thanks. No matter how much isn't the way I want it to be. You see, when you look at life, you can look at it for what it's not or for what it is. You can look for what God has given you or be thinking about what you don't have. We should not be comparing ourselves to others. God's given us life, eternal life. We have a destiny of heaven. We have kingdom blessings available to us. Give thanks to the Lord. Call out in his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of his wondrous works. This all corresponds. I'm going to go to Ephesians 5 and finish with this. This corresponds with what the Lord tells us here. How to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5, I'll start 17. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the will of God. If we're filled with the Spirit, we'll have love and joy and peace. We'll have all that we need. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, doesn't that sound like 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8? Yes. Which is quoting from Psalm 105, verse 1, 2, 3, in there. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has God blessed you with? He's blessed us with salvation. He's blessed us with forgiveness. He's blessed us with peace and joy and love. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If I'll look at that, I'll immediately be thankful to him. One of the things I used to encounter when I'd go on missions trips and in the early days to Nigeria and then to India, and I would be around people who have next to nothing in the natural. I mean, their great faith event is that they're going to have a bowl of rice today. And I come back here and hear people complaining about, yeah, it's too hot, yeah, it's too cold, yeah. Usually I wouldn't want to be around anybody for about 3 days because hearing that just make me mad. Well, eventually the Lord brought me to a place of, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Okay, people here don't realize how much they have. They don't realize that. So that's why they walk in that particular sin. And I can still remember being in Nigeria. And there was a big meeting. It's an outdoor meeting Brother Emo was having. It's part of that, me speaking. We're on the platform, or you might have been with me, Randy. And I'm watching the people dancing into church. And it'd be like 4 steps forward, 3 steps back. 4 steps forward, 3 steps back. Dancing, coming to church. And I know they don't have anything. I know that. And they're dancing because they have something from Jesus. They might not have much of anything in the natural, but they have something from Jesus that far outweighs all of that. They could be sitting around feeling sorry for themselves, or as many do, they're stealing from other people because you have something I don't have. I'm going to take it from you. Stay out of my way, or I'll whack you on the back of the head. I'll whack you on the front of the head. I mean, it's life there. But the believers who know what they have in Jesus coming to worship the Lord, I mean, they're so excited. They're dancing to church. And you'd even see some dancing to church with like a big plate on their head with something, you know, in there, like a big bowl or something they're carrying to church. And I marvel, how do you dance like that? When we were in India a couple years ago, I don't know if you were along that one, Dave, or not, but we were out in a village area, and these people were so grateful that the Lord sent someone to minister to them. And they have people beating on drums and singing, and there was about 10, 15 women. Were you along in that? 10, 15 women have these things on their head, and they're dancing, rejoicing in the Lord. The Lord's sending someone to preach the word to us. I don't know whether to cry, laugh, or shout. It's so humbling, but they're just so thankful. The Lord sent someone to us. Thank God. They weren't, you know, like proud or whatever. Like, well, I don't, what am I going to look like? What if that big pot on my head drops? That's some skill. You try doing that dancing with a big pot of whatever was in the pot. I don't know what it was, water or what. Dancing. Giving thanks to God for all things that the Lord's giving you, not for what the devil's giving you. Give thanks for what he's giving you. Sing and make melody in the heart. Sing psalms to him. Sing psalms to one another. That's a basic word from the Lord, how to stay full of the Holy Ghost. We can get wrapped up in what's going on around us. There's plenty of negative. I can only take so much in. I say, okay, turn that off. That's enough of the news. But I don't want to be ignorant what's going on. But the thing is, regardless of where you're encountering the evil, the greater one lives in you. We have access to the kingdom. We have access to the Holy Spirit who will speak to us, who will lead us, who will guide us, who will give us wisdom and impart strength to us. So therefore, we should be moved continually to give thanks to the Lord, to come and worship him in his presence, and have expectation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing to all of us in the presence of God as corporately manifest, as well as to you personally.